On this 28th day of June 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, text number 64. 264. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu Vishayan indriyaischaran Atma vasya vidhyatma Prasadam adigacchati. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the mercy, the complete mercy of the Lord. Purport. It is already explained that one may externally control the senses by some artificial process, but unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is every chance of a fall. Although the person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment to sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, he is transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinarily undesirable. And if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. Therefore, to act or not to act is within his control because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is the causeless mercy of the Lord, which the devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached through the sensual platform. Om Jnanatamarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshut Udmiratam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So this is the solution to the problem. Krishna has spoken about the need for getting on the platform of steady intelligence. Pragya Pratishtita. This has kind of been the theme here. Going all the way back to text 55. There are a series of verses which are all related. And the general theme here is to get the steady intelligence, stita pragya. And Krishna's recommendations are very strict. Prajahati yena kaman sarvam partam anogatan. One has to give up all desires which arise from the mind. All derive and be fully satisfied in the self. Whether happiness and distress, one has to be equipoised. Vitaraga bayakota, giving up all attachment, fear, and anger. So these are the prescriptions here. One has to act just like the tortoise. When the senses are not being used for Krishna, they have to be withdrawn, not used at all. All of this is not easy. He encourages us to say, well, if you get the higher taste, then you can remain fixed. You can give up these things. You won't be tempted. But yet the to become there, even one of the senses can take the mind away. So you have to strive very hard. All of the senses have to be controlled. Tani sarvani sangamya, and engage in my service. This matpara word, by the way, which Srila Prabhupada focuses on in the purport, this is text 61, the first time Krishna talks about service to himself in the Bhagavad Gita. But then he gives these two verses describing the downfall of the soul, who contemplates the objects of the senses, develops attachment, develops lust. From lust comes anger. From anger comes bewilderment. Then comes memory is lost, intelligence is destroyed, and one is finished. Now comes the key verse, which resolves the whole thing. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu. Now here the two word again indicates he's turning. He says, on the other hand, however, one can attain this state of being free from raga and dvesha, even as the senses move amongst the sense objects. Charan means move, just like the charana, amrita. Charana is what you move on, it's the feet. So the senses are always moving amongst their objects. Vishayan, indriyais charan. But one can remain self-controlled if you practice the regular principles of freedom. Vidhi Atma. Vidhi is like Vidhi Bhakti or Vaidhi Bhakti, under rules and regulations. So where do those rules and regulations come from? They come from the spiritual master. They come from the Shastra. They come from the sadhus. One has to accept, just as Arjuna did, Krishna as his spiritual master. That means being under the control. It's interesting that that word shishya is also based in the root of shas, which is the basic root of the word shastra also, and as well as shastra, meaning weapon. So the shastra is meant to control us. We're meant to be disciples under control of higher authority. And if we internalize that instruction, we develop what one nice devotee once called a Krishna conscience. Then one can control the self, atma-vasha. Atma-vasha means under one's control, the self under one's control. And we can remain free of raga and dvesha, even in the midst of the sense objects. And we can experience that even in our beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. If you're intensely Krishna conscious, you're focused, you're really absorbed in Krishna conscious hearing, chanting, serving, whatever, then you can be in the middle of, you know, downtown, Fifth Avenue, Times Square, even on the beach in the summertime, and you can remain detached. Whereas before you were practicing any kind of regular principles of freedom, before you were absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you had to be affected by that, attached or attracted to various things. This world is designed to attract us, designed to lure us on life after life in sense of gratification. So this is the means by which we can actually get the prasadam, get the mercy of the Lord. One attains this mercy by following the regulative principles of freedom, meaning all of the things that we're meant to do, 9 processes of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, surrendering everything. And read the Nectar of Instruction. You'll find the source of the practices in this Krishna consciousness movement. The morning program. It's all there in the Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada simply followed Rupa Goswami's formula, who was simply following Lord Chaitanya's instructions and inspiration. It's all coming down perfectly. And by being determined to follow, then we get the prasadam. We get the grace of the Lord. And that grace comes in 2 forms: increasing attachment for the practices of devotion, for the holy name, for the very process of Krishna consciousness, increased eagerness and inquisitiveness into everything about Krishna, which we have in abundance thanks to Srila Prabhupada and those who have followed him and given us so many instructions. So the field is wide open. And if we embrace those vidhis, the do's and the don'ts, you know, nisheda and the, what is it? Vidhi and nisheda. You know, the prescriptions and proscriptions. Then Krishna will bless us from within. He will give us enlightenment. Tesham sutata yuktana. Bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. For those who are serving me with devotion, I give the intelligence progressively by which they can come to me. I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And we'll see the benefit of that prasad in the next verse. So this is the solution to the dilemma presented in 62 and 63, the slippery slope, you know, presented by meditating on the objects of the senses. You develop attachment, and then from that comes lust, and you're under that control. You're tightly bound. Just like that verse from Madhavendra Puri, I like to quote, which Prabhupada quoted also: "Kama dinang katinda katita palita durni deshas." Durni deshas means the bad commands, you know. From what? Kama dinam, lust, etc. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. You know, these are like masters. There's a nice passage in the, I think it's 3rd canto, describing the creation, where you have Kama, you know, personified, and his brother greed, and his other brother Krodha. You know, you can imagine what they look like. You know. Greed, you know, kind of fat and ugly, you know. Kama, you know, the tongue hanging out, everything very eager to enjoy. Anger, red eyes, you know. But I mean, we live with that all over the place, you know, and we've also felt those forces in our own life taking over, you know, and intelligence is just not in control. So those enemies are very powerful, Kama and his friends. But Krishna is more powerful. Krishna is more powerful, and the holy name is more powerful. Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. It was so nice this morning, in the morning class about sound, you know, the subtle elements of sound and how they affect us and how they originate with the original sound of Om, you know, in the creation. And we can experience how the cultivation of this chanting, you know, quickly produces a transformation that goes very deep in our hearts and in our lives and our consciousness. You think differently about yourself and about your place in the world and what's valuable and what's good to do, what's bad to do. You can practically feel it, you know. So that's the process of creation, as Mahaprabhu was pointing out, and as Krishna mentions, and Prabhupada mentions in the purports elsewhere, reversing the process. You know, it begins with sound, you know, and the soul develops the false ego, this sense of separateness from Krishna. And then the false ego, in the contact with different modes of nature, produces the gross and subtle elements and all of this conditioning. This creation only exists because of us, because we need it to try to fulfill our karma and to try to fulfill our material desires. But it also is a perfect facility for getting out of it. Krishna makes it that way. Om Purnamadag Purnamidam. It's a complete arrangement. So all we need is the know-how and the will to follow what we know is right. And that's provided through following these regulative principles of freedom, which is one of my most favorite phrases. Because it seems to be a oxymoron. Who knows what an oxymoron is? Ryan, you know that word. Yeah, like two things are contradictory in their, you know, one term or one phrase, it seems to contradict itself. So to be regulated seems to be without freedom. But these particular regulative principles give you freedom. So how is that? Because by accepting the regulations of devotional service, you get free from the bonds of matter, the bonds of the demands of kama, krodha, lobha. This devotee, Madhavendra Puri, prays in this other verse, "For so long I've served these bad masters. They've, you know, frankly, you get one of these slave ships, you know, and they're whipping you along and you're doing that, they're bidding, you know. But they haven't shown me any mercy." You know, the whole idea, like in devotional service, you do a little service and so much mercy is flowing. You know, it's not slavery, it's an exchange of love. But this is not an exchange of love. These masters don't love you, and you're simply enslaved to them. And so you keep serving and serving and serving life after life, but they never get satisfied, and they never show you any mercy. You know. So what kind of masters are they? They're not kind. These are, you know. But now, says Madhavendra Puri, I'm giving them up. I'm not going to obey them anymore because I've developed a strength of mind, intelligence. My intelligence has awoken. Utsrijaitan. Utsrija means to throw away, cast away. You know, that's in the Bhagavad Gita in a certain form too. So he says, Utsrijaitan ati yodopate, O master of the Yadus, Krishna, labdha buddhi, I've attained my real intelligence. And so I'm not obeying them anymore. Is that the end of it? No, that's just three lines of the verse. You know? You may try to stop, you know, the forces of kama, krodha, and etc. You can't do it on your own. They're very strong, and they've taken over the strategic positions, the senses, the mind, the intelligence. What do? You have to run to Krishna. Fama ayatak shadana mabayam. I'm approaching you. Ayatak means to approach. Oh, fearless shelter. Shelter of fearlessness. Because it's a fearful situation. If you're in the control, under the control of your enemies, that's very fearful. So, but Krishna's lotus feet are the shelter of fearlessness. Shadanam abhayam. Mom, the Jungsvatma Dase, please engage me in your service. Either the sense, you will engage in the service of the senses, or you will engage the senses in the service of Krishna. And if you engage the senses in the service of Krishna, including your mind, the senses can't wield their power over you. You know, and they lose that. They get cured. They get purified of lust, and that goes for the mind as well. So this is the solution: is to accept these regulated principles of freedom. This vidhi, as in vidyatma. And we'll get the prasadam. And then we'll read about the benefits of getting the prasadam in the next verse or two. Any questions? Alec Prabhu.
Could you explain the statement, therefore to act or not to act is within his control because he acts only in the direction of Krishna?
Yes. The idea is that within his control means not under the control of these other forces. In other words, the mind has to accept a superior instruction and follow it. That's another line from the Bhagavad Gita. But we have the power to choose which force we're going to work under. That's the independence. Otherwise, you have the illusion of it. You know, I can buy that car, I can buy this car. I can go, yeah, I can buy, you know. But really, you're within the realm. You're in the prison. I can be a model prisoner and get an A cell, you know, but you're still a prisoner. You know, that's no kind of freedom. So this is the idea, is that echoes the other verse, Yada Sangharade Kurmangaya, Sarvas Kurman, Yada Sangharade Chayam Kurmangani Visarvasha. That just as the tortoise, he pulls his limbs in when there's no purpose for his senses, you know, he just pulls it. So similarly, if your criterion for acting is Krishna's will, then the senses can't demand from you. You've already gone to the higher source of demand. And you say, no, that's not what we're going to do. You see? So you have that independence. Otherwise, you're under the control. The higher self is under the control of the lower self. And you don't have your independence. Although you think you do. You may think you do. That's the idea. Yeah.
So the Nectar of Instruction says that the qualification of a teacher, a guru, is that they have to be self-controlled.
Pachavegan.
Yeah. So, but in the course of that that path of becoming self-controlled, a person starting from a neophyte stage, and then they're going to that path of becoming controlled. So, if a neophyte falls down on that path in any way, I mean, are they still qualified?
Not to take disciples all over the world.
Is that a disqualification, though?
Not to teach.
Is that disqualification in the future, though? Like, my point is, if they become qualified in the future,
Abhichetsuracharo. You know, there's a judgment call. How radical was the falling away of the principle? You know. But the basic idea is that there's two things. One is that even if one is not completely controlled, the mind, vachovesam, manasa krodavegam, the words, the mind, the anger, tongue, belly, genitals, there may not be 100% control, but still one can be a vehicle, one can be a medium for the teachings. You can't take disciples all over the world, you know, which is a very responsible position. But that doesn't mean that you can't be an agent for Krishna, for giving knowledge. And the other point is that we have to see that see the whole thing from Krishna's point of view. And he says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Abhichetsuracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sarareva samantavik samyak bhavasito hisa." That even though one may perform abominable activity, sudaracharo, really abominable activity, if the determination is steady, and one is steadily determined to serve Krishna, and is actually acting such and repenting that accidental fall down, then one should be considered a sadhu, because quickly one will become righteous. Chipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chanti, and then attain steady eternal peace. So these qualities will manifest fully. You know, the words, the anger, everything will be under control.
So those fall downs, they don't...
They don't disqualify.
The person becomes qualified in terms of controlling their self. in the future, but those temporary things aren't
really. Yes, yes. That's Krishna's verdict. Now, in a society such as ours, there needs to be a body such as the GBC that can judge these things, because people's lives are at stake, you know, for taking initiation. So that's another consideration. But the principle is that we should understand the tremendous purifying power of Krishna consciousness, and that it redeems one. It redeems one. Okay, the benefits of the prasadam described here. Prasade sabadukanam. Hanirasyopajayate. Prasanna chetaso yashu. Buddhi parihivatishtate. For one who thus, for one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. Now, there's no purport here, so I'm going to read on. We'll discuss this at the next one. Nasti buddhira yuktasya. Nacha yuktasya bhavana. Nacha bhavayata kshanti. Ashantasya kutak sukham. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter, 529, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbances due to want of an ultimate goal, and when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace, however much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life. Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, first of all, this text 65, that on the achievement of the causeless mercy of the Lord, all one's miseries are destroyed. Now this comes up again and again. It comes up in the sixth chapter when Krishna describes the state of samadhi. And he says, 623 or so. Yes. Yasmin stito nadukena gurunapi vichalite tam vidya dukha sangyoga viyogam yoga sangitam. There's a nice play on words there. So yasmitsito naduke gurunapi vichalyate, even in the midst of the greatest external misery, one is not shaken, vichalyate. So this is dukkha sanyoga viyogam. This is the separation from all miseries. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. And similarly, we learn from Kapiladev in his Sadhu Sangashtaka 3:25-20-27. That the devotee who is Mahi Bhaktir, what is it? Mahi Bhakti Bhutanam? No. Mayananyena Bhavena Bhaktir Kurvanti Ye Dridham Tapanti Vivadhasthapan Naitan Mangata Chetasa. No, I'm sorry, I'm mixing two words. By the process of hearing and chanting in Bhakti to me, Marashaya Kata Mrishta. Shinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vivarastapan naitan mangata chetasa. This is a very important idea, because it's exactly what Krishna is speaking here. How to get to this point of prasadam, of prasade. Now, prasade, prasad has different meanings. Prasad and prasanna are related. Prasada and prasanna. Prasanna is here described as probably always does, a happy state of mind, prasanna chetasa. So one becomes naturally joyful upon getting the prasad, We know that from experience. As soon as prasadam comes, aren't we happy? Hare Krishna. But it's true. It's the grace of the Lord. We're experiencing Krishna's grace in the form of what we call prasadam, food prasadam. But prasad also comes in other ways. And by following these rules and regulations, by becoming self-controlled, by becoming Krishna conscious, we feel joyful and peaceful at heart. And that destroys all the misery, all difficulties. As Kapiladev says distinctly, in the practice of bhakti yoga, beginning with association with sadhus and saints, devotees, one is always hearing and chanting. Here we are again at the point of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Marashaya kata mrishta. I like this phrase. Mrishta means very tasty and sweet, delightful. Madkata, talk about me. Krishna kata, which is marashaya, that such sounds that have taken shelter of me. Isn't that a nice poetic phrase? In other words, talks about me. What do you do with them? Shunvanti kadayanti. No mystery there. Hearing and chanting. Tapanti vibhidhas tapan naitan madgata chetasa. The miseries, the threefold miseries, don't impinge on the consciousness. You're in a different place. You're transcendental to that. Madgata chetasa, because your consciousness has gone to me, he says. This is Kapiladev speaking. So this is the idea, is that by practicing the regulative principles of freedom, you become more and more Krishna conscious, absorbed in the sound vibration, chiefly, of the holy name and everything else having to do with Krishna. And then, you know, the threefold miseries don't bother you as much. Just like we have, you know, I like to point out, there's a lot of misery out there. A lot of it is, you know, it was already miserable, now it's becoming more miserable. Because money is disappearing, you know. If people have money, then they figure that their life is successful, you know. But now that's in doubt. You know, they lost their job, or their debts are coming due. They can't pay it off, and there's so many things. Millions of people, not just in America, all over the world. Europe is about to fall off a cliff, you know, financially, because one country can't pay its debts. The temptation, you know, this is a perfect example of how, you know, kama, which also includes greed, you know, kama, lust leads to greed. Kama, esha, krodha, esha. And then we said, Tribhudanga dasya idam dvaram nashan matma, kama, krodha, tata, lobha. Lust, greed, anger. So there's never enough for these guys. You know, if you have a million, you want 10 million. If you have 10 million, you want 100 million. Then why not a billion? You know, before you know it, you're a high flyer. And everybody else, you know, millions and millions of people are just trying to make ends meet. So how to increase by borrowing. You borrow from here and you invest in there and you double your money in this way. So everyone wants to borrow and live beyond their means, basically. You know, right? That dream of the big jackpot, you know. So, but you can't keep borrowing and borrowing forever. Eventually it comes to due. Prabhupada said there are three things that one has to take care of right away or they get worse. Bhishma, you know what they are?
I know debts.
Debt is one. Two
fire,
other?
Fire.
Disease. Think about it. Why do we have fire departments? Why are they screaming down the road? Because if you don't stop the fire in one house, it jumps to the next house. You know? Or you have the fire, you know, these forest fires, they're burning for weeks now. Hundreds of square miles and more are being destroyed. One tree, another tree, before you know it, you have a conflagration. It never stops. That's like, you know. Same thing with disease. If you don't take care of it, it gets worse and worse and worse, and you can die. And the same thing with debt. Compound interest, it gets worse and worse. So the world is ill with that now. You know. Now, contrast that with the mentality of the devotees. Suppose everyone had this, you know, dream, you know, everyone was Krishna conscious. It's like that in the spiritual world, or in the Satya Yuga, or whatever, you know. So the idea is that if you're self-satisfied, if you're drinking the nectar of, you know, Atma Prasada, you know, then your external needs come down to very simple needs, you know, shelter, prasadam, you know, a place to rest your head, clothes, you know, everything is simple, minimal. That's real wealth. Real wealth is being satisfied with minimal. Then no one can control you. You know, this is the whole idea. There's an idea behind why is it that the six Goswamis just picked up the rejected cloth? Why is it that they didn't live, you know, in a house? And they lived so, practically didn't eat anything. This is freedom. You know, if you're picking up rejected clothes, then you don't have to serve somebody who's going to pay you to buy the clothes. It's a complete freedom like that. Now, that's an extreme example, but really the devotee lifestyle is like that. In this room, because you guys are out there, but, you know, you may be suffering a little bit, but practically speaking, we're not feeling all this economic holocaust. We're not plugged in, you know. We're living, like to say, close to the ground. Who is that great sage? When you got nothing to lose, right? So if you have nothing materially, then you have nothing to lose materially. But you have a wealth of knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, of ultimately it's called prema, dana. You know what the word dana means?
Treasure.
Wealth. Just like we sing that song. What is that? Yashamati Nandana? Then there's a line there where it says, Krishna is herding the wealth of cows. I forget how it goes. Forgive me, this being Bengali, but it's in there. Godhana. Nanda Godhana Rakawala. Right? Yes. He's protecting. Rakawala means to protect or herd. Nanda Godhana. The cows are the real wealth. They give, you know, they give the milk, and they bulls pull the plow. You get food, you know. But no. So the real wealth is in here. The real wealth is your Krishna consciousness. That's real wealth. Your desire to serve Krishna, to hear the holy name, to serve the devotees. That desire, that's the growth of that bhakti lata that ultimately produces the fruit that you can eat forever, you know, and they'll always be satisfied. And that's available. So now, vasade sabadukanam hananosa bajayate. All your miseries, all your difficulties are destroyed. And prasanna chetasa, your mind becomes pleased. Prasanna chetasa. Happy and peaceful. And prasanna has another meaning. Look it up in the dictionary. I'll give you, if you don't have your Monya Williams dictionary on your iPod, I can give it to you. And he says, prasanna also means very clear. Very clear-minded. Pellucid. Everyone knows what the word lucid is, means, right? Pellucid means very, very lucid. Extremely clear. And calm, and naturally joyful, because the natural state of the soul is such. We should always remember that. As soon as we're a little depressed, it means that we're not fully Krishna conscious. The natural state of the soul is to be fully joyful. Ashu, quickly, buddhi paivatishtate. Now we're back to the theme, which is fixed consciousness, buddhi, completely fixed. Remember, vyavasayatmaka buddhi. That's one of our verses we have to know. Is that fixed consciousness. It's not many branched. On the other hand, because this is how they make the point, back and forth. Na asti buddhira yuktasya. Now the word yuktasya means not linked to Krishna. Yukta, yoga, bhakti yoga. So if the buddhi, back to the buddhi yoga, is not linked to Krishna, and not cha yuktasya bhavana, one is not, there is no bhavana. There is no fixed mind and happiness if one is not linked to Krishna. You see? And without being linked to Krishna, chabhaveta kshantir, there's no question of peace. Because peace comes when you don't want anything. Right? If you always want all the different things, you can't be peaceful. That's why these rich people are so agitated. You know, just imagine now if each one of us had $1 billion, you know, in our control. Whoa, what a responsibility, you know. You can imagine, you're not going to be peaceful sitting here in a Bhagavad Gita class. You have things to do. We got to figure out how to protect it and how to invest it, how to double it, or how to spend it, you know, for ourselves or whatever. We can start a charity, so our name will be known as charitable people. We're over here, we're enjoying it so much. But yeah, you see all the agitations that have come? You know, from just having $1 billion? So, there's no shanti. But if you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you're shanti. And without shanti, where can there be happiness? Ashantasya kutaksukam. Very important verse from Lord Chaitanya's teachings of Sanatana. He says, Krishna bhakta nishkama ateheva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. So here's the distinction between the peace and no peace. People want peace, then here's what they have to understand, as well as the peace formula, which probably plugs at the end. It's the same idea. So he says, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, because the devotees don't want anything for themselves, Nishkama, they only want for Krishna. Therefore, they're peaceful, at peace. You know. But Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, those who desire Bhukti, 99.99%, material sense gratification. But there are also some who want Mukti. That's also selfish. We were reading that verse from Prahlad. Payena deva munayo sova mukti kama. He directly says, for the most part, O Lord, speaking to Lord Nrisimhadev, these transcendentalists, munis, he puts them in a knowledgeable, they want mukti for themselves. They want liberation. I want to be liberated from all misery. Heck with the rest of the people. I want to be liberated. That's called mukti kama. A lusty desire for my own benefit. You know, and then he's maunam chalanti vidane naparatanishta. They wander silently. They don't want to say anything. They'll break their concentration. Maunam chalanti vidane, where there's no people. Vidane naparatanishta, having no determination to help others. But as for me, says Prahlad, I'm not going to do that. Naitan vihaya. I'm not going to give up the company of these fools and rascals. Kripana, they call them kripanas, wretched fools and rascals. Vimamuksha eko, simply wanting my own liberation alone, because nanyan farasti shadanam brahmato nupashe. I cannot see anyone else but you as someone who can help them as they wander up and down in the species and suffer like this. Brahmato anupashe. In other words, I'm here, I know that you, only you, Lord, can help them. There's nobody else but Krishna. Lord Nishing is the same as Krishna. Therefore, since I can give them you, I have to stay in the cities and towns. And in that purport, probably, you know, it's more or less like an anthem for the preaching movement. That verse and the previous verse, which sets it up, really, you can just see it's inspiring Srila Prabhupada, and not only Prabhupada, but his forebears, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, those who are ready to give up the peaceful life of contemplation, which was so common, you know, go to Vrindavan, just chant Hare Krishna. But no, he says, what about all of us? If someone is really in tune with Krishna, Krishna's related to everyone, he cares about everyone. And if you care about what Krishna cares about, you also have to care about everyone. QED. You know, so real Krishna consciousness is taking trouble for a pleasing Krishna and pleasing Krishna's devotees, which is everyone, actually, is the potential of devotee. So there's no real happiness without peace. There's no peace without being linked up with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. And as Prabhupada likes to quote the peace formula at the end of chapter 5, understanding that Krishna is really the beneficiary of all sacrifices and penances. And that also means that he's meant to be the enjoyer of the fruits of your hard labor. Even if you don't call it a yajna and a tapasya, you're still sacrificing and performing austerities to do your job. So as much as possible, the fruit should be enjoyed by Krishna. Then you'll be peaceful. Sarva loka maheshwaram, understanding he's in control of everything. And that he's really the friend of everyone. We try to be separate friends, you know, separately be friends. This is the traditional thing with charity. They want to be known as friendly to everyone. I'm the beneficiary, you know. Don't hate me because I have $100 billion. Look, I'm helping so many people. Nobody likes to be hated, you know, or be envied. You know the story of the original Rockefeller. What was his name? J.D. Rockefeller? Something. I forget. But the original one who made all the money with oil. And he was a nasty guy. You know, I mean, he would specifically, with all the money he had, he would outmaneuver individual guys who were trying to make, you know, with one well, he would buy them out or some way or other just to absorb more and more of the oil. And he had all the oil. You know, they actually broke it up eventually. It was called Standard Oil in New Jersey. They had to break it up because it was too much of a monopoly eventually. But he, you know, he was like a real tycoon. He was one of these, you know, malefactors of great wealth, Teddy Roosevelt called him. So what happened was that the daughter of one of the people who he had put out of business, you know, one he turned it, you know, went to school and became a journalist. And she started writing about all of the nasty stuff that he'd done, and it would gradually be published in the papers, you know. And before long, everybody knew exactly who he was, you know, and all the nasty. So he couldn't go out. He would go out somewhere in the city street, and all people would gather and start screaming and yelling at him, you know. And so he's famous for giving dimes out to try to, you know, be kind, giving dimes. You know, he made billions, he's giving dimes. So he would kind of cloister himself away. And then either due to stress, you know, stresses or whatever, he lost the ability to grow hair. Now, we know a devotee like that. His name is Omkar. No problem with devotees. He's always shaved up. And it's a little funny. He doesn't have any eyebrows, but no problem. But for Rockefeller, it was a big problem. You know, here he is, he's completely bald. He has no hair. Can't go out. You know, so everybody hates him because they know how a nasty person he was. But he has his billions. You see the problem? Who's richer? You know, one of our bhaktas here is happily chanting Hare Krishna and basically has a little corner of the ashram. Or Rockefeller with his billions, he can't go outside, can't grow any hair, is miserable, you know, probably taking drugs just to go from day to day. You see? So that's an extreme example, but it's like that. So without peace and without understanding Krishna's the friend of, and Krishna owns everything and everything is meant for him, you can't be peaceful. This is a formula for individual as well as world peace. But they don't, you know, they don't want to do that. Nobody wants that. Any questions? How to be peaceful? How to be peaceful and happy? It's a good preaching formula. People don't have it. Okay, let's go on. Indriyanam ichadatam yanmano nubidhiyate tadasya hadati pragam vayunam vambasi. Now again he's going back to the other side. Is it? Okay, yes, but watch out. As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Purport. Unless all of the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, even one of them engaged in sense gratification can deviate the devotee from the path of transcendental advancement. As mentioned in the life of Maharaj Ambarish, all of the senses must be engaged in Krishna consciousness, for that is the correct technique for controlling the mind. And what's interesting to note here is that you kind of have a hint, if you think about it, the relationship between bhakti yoga and, say, ashtanga yoga, or these other yogas. Now, ashtanga yoga, as soon as you hear ashtanga yoga or dhyana yoga, immediately you should think, oh yes, the yogi isolated in the forest, meditating alone, you know, practicing pranayama. Big task. He describes it in summary in the sixth chapter. So many details, but basically, it's a long slog, you know, to forcibly control the senses by these means. And the ultimate goal is complete sense control. You know, it's not that, you know, it's a farce that some yogi is doing his thing and then going and smoking or having illicit sex. That's completely ridiculous. So the same idea is here, is that ultimately we're meant to be in samadhi, bhakti yogis, achieve samadhi, full absorption, just like these other yogis. So Krishna says even one of the senses, they all have to be controlled. And the only possible way to do that, it's not sure that you'll do it, but the only possible way to do that is through the process of devotional service. The example here is a strong wind sweeping away the boat on the water. So, you know, the senses, they can take your mind away. But we have the superior power of the holy name. I like to give this example. Some of you have heard it before, but there's some new people. Back in the early 80s, I lived in Philadelphia. And we would go on Harinam, like we do here, once a week. I think we went on Saturday night. And they have a place called South Street there, which is equivalent to our Fifth Avenue, and New York's Fifth Avenue, or whatever. You know. New York has many such streets. But it's a place where it was a little gentrified. They put some money in there so people would come, you know, nice shops and things like that. And there was this big square where there was no vehicular traffic, just foot traffic, you know. And around the edge of that square were all these shops. So we'd be chanting away, you know. And they had, if I recall, a cookie store. And I think it was mostly chocolate chip cookies or something. But they would, you know, there were stores on the other side, and they would pump out, you know, the fragrance of freshly baked cookies and baking cookies, you know. And that's really alluring, you know. And so you'd smell it, you know, you smell that cookie smell coming out, you know. But of course, as soon as you smell it, oh, it's boga, you know, you can't, like, you know, I don't want that, you know what I mean? There's kind of a fail-safe in your mind, you know. I mean, of course, and we're chanting Hare Krishna. So you're chanting Hare Krishna, enjoying the kirtan ras, and you're smelling this fragrance. So you kind of get a direct realization. If you weren't chanting, if you're just like an ordinary person walking, then you'd feel a strong urge. You know, I was thinking, maybe we should get some cookies. You know, and you think you're independently thinking like that, but really they got your nose, you know, you're bringing it right in there. And the nose and the tongue are very closely aligned, you know. So that's the idea. And they do it with all these restaurants. Unmentionable smells are coming out, you know, because they know that attracts. But you can become immune to that. I mean, nobody here, I assume, is really allured to go to the McDonald's. I mean, it's horrific and horrible. You know, you can't even think about it. But maybe 6 years, a month, you know, 2 years ago, yeah, why not? You know, we're hungry, let's go there. You know? So there's a... that's direct proof of how Krishna consciousness can protect you and can give you the strength to say no. And to the point where it's not even an austerity anymore. You know, it's just repulsive. You know, just like, remember Yamunacharya? Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna balarami. That which was attractive, it becomes repulsive after a while when you see its real nature. All the sense gratification is like that. But so therefore we have to have all the senses intact here. Okay, we have time for one more, and that will actually give the tasmat. When you see tasmat, it means therefore, so it's kind of an end of an argument. So this next verse is important. Tasmat yasya mahabaho niguhitani sarvashaha indiyan indriyatebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Therefore, Almighty Armed One, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. One can curb the forces of sense gratification only by means of Krishna consciousness or engaging all the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As enemies are curbed by superior force, the senses can similarly be curbed not by any human endeavor, but only by keeping them engaged in the service of the Lord. One who has understood this, that only by Krishna consciousness is one really established in intelligence, and that one should practice this art under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, is called a sadhaka, or a suitable candidate for liberation. And so, just one other point here, and then we'll adjourn. One has to be trained as to what is really service. If one gets this idea, okay, I want to practice bhakti yoga, or what do? You know, well, here, you can start with this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Now, you won't find that in the Bhagavad Gita text, right? If there's a couple of references here to chanting of sacrifices, I am japa. And he says that everyone chants your name and the demons run away in the 11th chapter, right? And it's satatam kirti anto mam, he says in the 9th chapter, that the Mahatmas are always chanting your glories. But that specific instruction to chant Hare Krishna mantra and to how much to chant it and how to chant it, that comes from parampara, comes from the spiritual master and other devotees. So Krishna works through his devotees to give you practical instruction about how to engage in devotional service. And when you do it under that genuine authority, you can feel confident that, yes, I am in bhakti, and Krishna is being pleased, and you'll be getting the mercy, the prasadam. You'll get the prasadam. So we shouldn't speculate and do it this way, that way. We very much need to have the guidance of how to engage our senses, our mind, intelligence, and everything in the service of Krishna. Any final comment or question? We can adjourn. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.